Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And we are going to take you international, national, and very, very hyper local. There'll even be a sign. It's time for
Uzbud. Oh,
Oh my
the
gosh.
world, the world, the
Let's start
local.
local. Let's
All
start
right.
local. So we're hearing rumblings, we're hearing rumors, I guess. I mean, it's no surprise that the chief of the Vancouver Police Department, Adam Palmer, has retired, and a new chief it needs to be named. And the three most likely candidates, one went, I believe the front runner went and became chief over in Victoria. So there were two others left behind, one who we've been seeing at all the press briefings and the other who we see in the media all the time. So Howard Chow and Steve Rye. So the rumor is that one of those two front runners could be someone else, though, but one of those two front runners will be announced at 5 o'clock this evening.
That's weird. Okay, I went through I was on council when we put in Adam Palmer, and it was so obvious that it was going to be him. I mean, he was kind of groomed to be the replacement, and
Right.
there was no surprise.
No,
He was recommended
I
by
remember that.
the previous chief. So, I mean,
It
I
was
would
almost
be,
like he was anointed.
yeah, I would be surprised if it's not Howard Chow. I mean, I would be very surprised, but we'll see. I think that's kind of why they haven't got him as the interim, but. That's what I think. But at 5 o'clock, that is
Interesting.
weird from a spin point of view, because usually, 5 o'clock on a Friday is even worse.
That's buried on a Friday, but if you
Yeah.
were announcing at like,
There's
it's
no media.
coming, the new chief. You would say on Friday that there will be announcement 9 a.m. on Monday.
That's
We will
right.
be announcing a new chief on Monday morning at 9. Then you capture the news cycle,
Yes.
and then every news outlet talks about it all weekend. Who's it going to be? What's going to happen? Here's the look back on all. They get everything together, and then at 9 o'clock on Monday, that dominates.
There's no
Why?
radio or TV can't make a 5 o'clock press conference. They really can't.
Nobody. No.
There's no radio guys left at 5 o'clock, and
No.
except for News 11:30, and maybe there's a couple of reporters, but they're generally
Print.
filed for the day.
Yeah,
Print,
I
I
guess.
mean,
Print
it's they go
media.
online, but I mean, it's TV can't. They just can't. So it's very strange, but maybe just incompetence by our government in Vancouver. I don't know. Who knows with the way they manage things in this city anymore? You got your 57, 87. How many staff are there in communications, Jody? Who knows?
Many. Oh my
Many, but
gosh,
yet
the tradition
communications.
continues.
Anyway, so I that's very strange, but it will be interesting because I've heard my sources say that. The police department has been a challenge under the previous chief in working closely with the senior management team at City Hall. Like they have the
Oh,
general
really?
managers, and they meet
Yeah.
every week, and very seldom, from what I understand, would the police chief show up for those meetings. He would send one of his subordinates, and it's a general manager meeting. It's supposed to be all the senior people meeting to talk about alliances and how we work together, and obviously the downtown east side
Right.
being such a priority, but not to have the guy who's actually making the decisions at those meetings is very strange. So I would hope that the new chief will play ball and be more cooperative from from my sources. That would be a good
Cooperative
thing.
to the taxpayers who are paying for that.
To his and his colleagues. Come
Yeah,
on.
that's surprising.
So
I had not ever heard that, George. So I like, what are you not, what are you doing if you're not communicating at a senior level with the city? Like what?
Yeah, it's
That
weird.
sounds, yeah, it sounds like something to dig into a little bit further. This is going to sound really sort of like chewing bubble gum after the subject matter of a new chief of police, but the Vancouver sign, that big Vancouver sign.
You mean the North Vancouver sign?
Oh my gosh.
Because it faces North Vancouver.
When you take a picture of the Vancouver sign, you see.
You see a bit of Stanley Park, and then you see North Vancouver. So, why did North Vancouver pay us $1 million to put install their sign?
$1 million for a sign. Is that like the
It's
ultimate patio furniture hit? Like what? What in that sign costs $1 million? I think we just throw around numbers now. Let's say it's $1 million.
I mean, I obviously it's a complicated sign to build. It's got to be structurally whatever, yada yada, but First of all, two things that bug me. One is $50,000 a year to maintain it. So can I have that job? And I'll just put a little I'll put a little chair beside the sign, and I'll just sit
A little
there.
spit and polish.
I'll polish. I'll tell people to move along when they're getting their selfies.
I don't know, Lord.
It's crazy. But I'm confused by I saw a tweet from Peter Meisner saying that there's some funding. Screen grab was confusing. 700. I was like, what? Because my feeling.
Destination Vancouver, right?
Well, yeah, which is still they get their money through taxing hotels, so okay, so still it's not private money, it's private
Okay.
money, but it comes through a forced tax on hotels. So
So
why
why
where's the
wouldn't
big donor? Where's the Chip Wilson, like the laughing guys for 5 million? Where can we
Yeah.
not find a private donor in the city to spend $1 million to say, hey, I did this, and they could put their logo in the bottom corner or something?
Right.
Like Jim
Well, I
Pattison, hello, where are
well,
come on,
but
buddy.
haven't we been talking about or an donor that not everybody knows them?
Or
This would be a good
how about
opportunity.
a current crowdfund? I don't know.
Well, going back to the donor thing, because it just dawned on me, like, weren't we just talking about naming rights of parks and spaces? Like, wasn't the park board looking at possibly, having the aquatic center, the
Oh
fill
yeah,
in the blank
that's
big,
right.
the TELUS aquatic center or whatever? Like, why wouldn't
Vancouver,
this fall
brought
under
to you by.
a little plaque right there? Imagine the plaque costs another $1 million. Don't even get me started. Don't get me started. I can't. I want to talk about the downtown east side. That little, this is provincial more than anything. David Eby walking back, the premier David Eby walking back, the consultant who was hired to try and
Oh,
tackle the pro right?
so bad. Like, where is your mind when you're thinking about doing that? How did you think that nobody would find out or something? Like, not to mention the guy's history. It's just like so many problems with this decision. And then, of course,
So
to
many
then
problems.
reverse it, you're like, okay, now he's going to pay him $100,000 in fees anyways, because
Yeah.
it's in his contract. So he gets half the money anyways. So it's like.
Right. Because he was on a 6-month contract and then it was going to be renewed after that. But then, you know what? And I'm going to take my politics or journalist or media or talk show or whatever hat off for a second and just as an individual, because wasn't it like, I can't believe he's making $150,000 on a 6-month contract to assess the downtown east side and come up with possible solutions for the downtown east side. And everybody freaked out about that dollar amount. And I thought to myself, I know people who make way more than that to solve way lesser problems. Like I didn't look at it as amount like, holy mo, like, whoa. Unlike the Metro Vancouver board. Did you see that report came in? The report, the independent sort of look through what they cost, what they do. Their meeting goes 1 minute over and everybody gets an extra $1,000. Do you think they maybe slowed their meetings down for an extra? I mean,
And then the whole Jerry Dalvoni, the what is he, the general manager,
yeah.
CEO, all that stuff that he's been up to and reported on.
Yeah.
But yeah, no,
Yeah.
I mean, I was when I was on council, I very seldom was allowed to go to those metro meetings. I was not one of the group of seven or
The
eight,
group of seven.
whatever it was. And so on occasion, I got, I think, 5 times in my 7 years I was attending there. And I've said this before, 90% of the meeting happens in camera. So, I'm like, why are we discussing this in camera all the time? And then
Right.
90% of the decisions were pre-made. Like, you just like, literally the chair would go through the agenda like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, whoa, hey, I got some questions. I was always
Right.
an annoyance. I think it's why they didn't want me there.
That's
So
why
I'm
they didn't
like,
invite you back. It's like George wants to know too much.
me and Mike
He's got
Smith, who was the
questions.
mayor of West Van, always voting against things. No, we were the
Well,
only ones, it seemed, that voted against so many things that when I went there.
the
So
independent auditor that looked at the whole program out there at Metro, sometimes when an audit goes on, they come in with a handful of recommendation. 47. 47 recommendations. 47 things flagged of like, nope.
yeah, that's a
47.
lot of recommendations.
But you guys are in charge of what we're doing?
The Metro Board, I've said this, and this is actually former city councilor. There's been an issue, and I think it goes years way back. Like, what this board, this
was meant to do.
organization is so opaque in every level. And so this recommendations is just part of it. But really, I mean, let's face it, it's a $2 billion budget, and it's the biggest, next to the province of BC, the biggest spending government in the province. So, and they are in control of our waters and our sewers, and yet we have no idea what's going on there almost any of the time, 90% of the time, as I mentioned, in camera decisions. This isn't, then we need to look, I believe, at an elected board. These are appointed. This is obviously a cushy little gig for all these councillors and mayors who get to join this thing. They get these additional bonuses for showing up for this, for that. You know,
It's like a
they're
separate salary.
it's like an absolutely like 20 to 30,000 to $40,000 more for a counselor. It's ridiculous. And you know, as the lo lowest paying counselor in the 7 years that I was there, and who didn't spend his ever spend his my budgets that I had set aside for expenses, I felt like, you know, there was this there's an assumption, and I always bug me that when people get elected, they talk the talk, but then they don't walk the walk when they get in there. And I think you look at these ABC councillors and the money they're making. I thought they were the fiscal conservatives. They were going to look at money spending, yet they're all taking the extra cash from Metro. They're all taking whatever other bonuses they can get from here or there and everywhere. They're taking their raises. They're doing this, they're doing that. You know, meanwhile, the rest of us are all suffering, dealing with inflation, dealing with our taxes going up. I got my tax, but you get your tax bill, right? I'm like,
I did.
what?
I
Are
know.
you kidding me?
I know.
It's a lot up.
It's a
Mine is
lot.
a lot.
And I had thought, I think I'm going to go and do my, I'm going to defer my property tax because, you know, that's an option once you're over the age of 55. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. So I did it. And then I realized the amount of interest you pay on that.
It's pretty good, but it's not, it's definitely, yeah, you got to pay.
Well, it used to be better because
Oh,
interest
yeah.
rates are
What
different,
is,
right? So
oh.
it fluctuates with, and I was like, you know what? No. I'm not racking up a bill while I'll do that. So then I went, no, and
You
I paid
did.
last year's taxes and then
Oh,
the one
wow.
that I deferred and last year, and then I got the tax bill for, and I was like, this
Yeah, I think when
is a
you're 80
very
or not, when you're
expensive
80 or
month.
90, it's a good idea when you're really on a fixed income. But if you can afford
Right.
to pay them, then pay them, because yeah, it does eat into your equity. And if you're thinking of my home is my retirement,
Yeah.
you got to be careful for sure.
Interesting now that the federal election has taken place and no one's screaming and yelling that the Liberals are coming for your home equity. I'd like to point that out because that late, you were away when you were on your vacay when it was all going down. I think we touched on it when you got back, but it was wild. You could tell the shift, like polling showed that it was as close as it could possibly be after the conservatives leading by 20 points only like what 4 months before, and right just day 2 days before going to the polls after the advanced polling showed that the turnout was massive, the swirl became the spin became oh they're coming they're going to tax primary residents
Right,
they're going to
which
which
was based
you
on,
nothing.
right.
And you told me in, I don't know what episode, like we're 7 years into this podcast, aren't we now?
Yes.
Are we? Yeah,
Yeah.
seven, season seven, because
Yeah.
we started before the pandemic. And I mean, this last 7 years has been the longest half century of our lives. Early days, because there was election times then, and somebody had mentioned that. And you're like, listen, Jody, learn from this. The party that comes for home equity to tax it will be the last thing that that party ever does. That's the thing that you said to me, because it would be the most vastly unpopular thing. It would be the very last thing that that pop party ever does, because the very next second that it would be possible, they would be voted out and crushed like a bug, right?
Guess who votes? Homeowners. Renters
Exactly.
don't vote. Sorry, they don't. And
No.
you know, and if they do, they tend to vote, you know, for parties that don't win. Like, you know, NDP or federally, we're talking.
Yeah, yep,
So,
yep,
you
yep, yeah.
know, it's
Federally.
definitely, this is, and this is not a, I'm not judging, by the way. This is just statistically the truth,
Right.
that owners overwhelmingly vote, and that you're right. I mean, I think that, and I don't even understand how that would work. And you know, it's, and there's, you know, this
It was wild though, but
taxation, yeah.
it just triggered me when you said, because my home is my savings. It
Like so
is
many of our
my nest
generation,
egg.
right? Like that
Oh, for sure.
we didn't we were lucky, but not as lucky as our parents were with
All
home
right.
ownership. So
And other than the fact that I didn't own a home at the time where interest rates were like 18, 19%.
true.
But it was 18, 19% on a very, very much smaller number. So, but still, but I mean, everything's relative, I guess.
Yes, when you're infamous.
I wanted to say one more thing locally before we go international. Oppenheimer Park.
Yes, the never ending Oppenheimer Park, Tent City. Yeah, so they built a beautiful playground, you know,
Gorgeous.
our beloved park board. You know, these poor rangers, so they built this beautiful playground for kids in the Oppenheimer Park, which is, for those who don't understand, in the part of the downtown east side. And which is, you know, a fairly rough area. It's in what used to be, I think it's still called Japantown, but it's sort of, you know, not really. It still is kind of. And they had to couldn't do the launch because there was people protesting and building tents and setting up tents, and they were being told, "Can you move?" The rule in the city, to the surprise of many people, is that, and this happened, I guess, well, it was Park Board's decision, I think, 2 terms ago, was that the people can sleep in the parks until 7 a.m. and then you got to move on. And I, you know, I think that's really generous. And they had this rule in Sweden called Allemansrätt. It's like all man's land. So you can actually stay at anybody's property overnight as long as you move along by, I think it's 8 a.m. So you can, if you're a backpacker traveling through Sweden, you can stop in somebody's yard and just pitch a tent. And that's a rule in Sweden. Anybody's yard. So it's not even that bad. So this 7 a.m. thing, it's like, okay, I get it. You know, I live downtown and we have a security guard in our building. And it's if there's people sleeping, we say, you know, you got to move along. And usually it's done very politely. There's never any problem. Usually these people are, oh, yeah. So I feel like, you know, that's not too much to ask for. Is it okay? You're sleeping in the park, fine, till 7 a.m. Generally, I don't take my kids to the park before 7 a.m. So, you know, it's fine. And people with dogs, though. So, you know, they're pushing back on this. They're saying they should be able to sleep there. They basically stopped this launch of this park for kids. So now we're just sitting in limbo because it's park board. You just gotta take, sometimes you just gotta be tough. It's gotta be tough. You gotta stick to the rules. And the rule is to 7 a.m., move along, move along. Sorry.
What I found really interesting when the story was unfolding, because it was like, we're doing it. We're opening the playground at Oppenheimer Park. That was the headline. And then I'm going to say 2 hours later, it was like, actually, we're not doing it because whoopsies. And then obviously the news outlets go down and are covering it. And here's the visuals of the beautiful playground. It looks great. What an important piece of the neighborhood for families to be able to come together with their kids playing around, you know, these safe structures. And you know, it's community. And then the clip of the protester slash camper slash resident, Oppenheimer Park resident, and they introduced this gentleman as being somebody who has lived at Oppenheimer Park for 17 years. And I'm like, okay, you know, I am a believer that everybody should have an option to have a space to exist. Like, it must be incredibly difficult to have to move along every morning at 7 a.m. I'm not suggesting that that is not incredibly difficult, but to say I live here and it is my right to keep this tent on this property without any reason, plan, effort, whatever you want to call it, to try and improve that situation. It just is what, like, imagine if we all just did that. If we all just said, you know what, we're all just moving down to the beach. We're just going to live on Spanish Banks. We're just going to set up
Nice.
tents and just live
Full-time,
there.
put a yurt there and then just live the best life on the beach.
Just li live like, no.
Nice.
And I mean, on top of all of this, we have controversy about washrooms. We haven't even gotten to the washrooms yet.
Oh, God.
We have to have poo fairies. They
What?
said there's so, didn't you see that headline? I think it was a couple
Oh,
days ago. And
no.
that it's like, yeah, and
Poo
it has
fairies.
gotten so bad. Human feces on the streets of downtown Vancouver has gotten so bad that they need an actual force of people who go through the downtown and clean up, because it's a hazard, obviously. It's a hazard. But where do you go? Like, that's where I have unbelievable empathy. Like, I don't, we've all been trapped in a spot going, I need to go. I need to go. Women more than men, by the way. You know, when you got to go, you go.
Yes. Yeah, men can just go in a corner and just whatever, which they do often in my alley. So,
And I hate to bounce back to the park board, but down this, the woman that was attacked in the bathroom last week at Third Beach Pool, in the bathrooms,
yeah, it's
the
terrible.
repeat offender was waiting in there, assaulted
And
her.
prime time walking. I like this, you know, this is
No, it was
10 a.m. in the
10:30.
morning.
It was 10:30 in the
Yeah.
morning. I
Yeah,
mean,
that's just crazy. I mean, that's very random, but also, you know, and those, there's not, you know, as they, you know, park has these nice toilets that, well, they're not that nice. Like, that's, they could use an upgrade. I don't
well, the
understand.
$5 million
So,
dollar toilets.
well, there's the $5 million toilet where whatever, with the one in by my place. So, like, underneath the Canby Street Bridge, there's a nice brand new, well, not brand new, so, well, a year old. And I've been into it a few times because I'm going to go for a walk. Oh, I'll just go for a pee here. And I went into it last week, actually. And then, oh my God, it's like burned out and graffitied up and kicked in. And it's hard to destroy it. It's all metal. And the toilet has no toilet lid. It's all like, it's like a prison toilet. Like, it's
It's
like,
all
you
one
know,
piece, right?
yeah. And there's a place to wash your hands outside. There's a tap. So it's, there's, you know, there's a reason that I guess they had to put, you know, plumbing in and sewer and all that stuff. So, but I always think, like, okay, so we can't even keep this one pristine. The one up by the other one up in up the up in the park down the street from me, which is one of those ones that auto cleans and stuff, that's broken down 90% of the time. God
Is
knows
it?
why, because I guess it's mechanical. So I just think that, isn't there, I mean, haven't we heard about in Paris they have those toilets and they're literally just like a thing like this, and then I don't know where the stuff goes and they flush it, but I think it's mostly for men. But I think,
But
can it be
okay.
so hard to pop in place? Okay, somebody destroys it, just whoop, whoop, put a new one in.
In Spain, they had these little things that you literally walk up to as a dude. It's all for men, but you walk up to and it just covers you from, you know, mid abdomen
Yeah.
to mid thigh and kind
Right.
of goes around towards your
I'm
hips, and
good.
you just shuffle up to that. And interestingly enough, when I was in, it was Spain. It was
Yeah.
in Spain, and I was at the train station, so public place, like on the available to everyone area. It was 1 euro to get into the bathroom.
Right, yes. So creative, but
Coin operated.
yeah.
So,
Sometimes
but when we're
better.
like, it's a human right. It's like some places in the world, it's you got to pay to pee.
Well, maybe there's a whole business model that if the city were to open that up to tender,
Maybe.
to say. And Pete Fry's got a motion he's put forward. I haven't actually read the whole motion, but it's kind of related to this, I think. And so
Right. I saw his tweets.
it's worth a conversation, 100%. And because I think if you want to enjoy the city, you don't want to see poo and pee everywhere. Pee poo fairies.
It's pretty. And what we stopped washing streets during the vision years, right? Because we have to conserve
Yes, we cut that
water.
budget. Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to go back to cleaning
Oh my God,
our
I was in
streets.
Italy, and that every, we were staying in this place, you know, in this town, and every night at, like, you could hear the, you know, I was there from this one town for 3 nights, and that street cleaner and then power washing every night, every night. So it'd
Every
be like
night.
Granville Street, you power wash every night. Imagine a world.
Imagine a world. And imagine, well, and back to the tents and needing to move, it's not unique, you know, for that to be asked here. I remember, God, I lived in Los Angeles 30 years ago, and Santa Monica Pier, it was cardboard. Everybody would set up cardboard and live in these cardboard
Oh
box.
yeah.
We called it a box town, but they had to be everybody out, not waking up at 7, but this is clear at 7, or we're coming in and basically
Taking your
tearing it
cardboard.
down, tearing it down. And it kept it clear because then the tourists would descend and they'd hang out at Santa Monica Pier and everybody would have a good time and then everybody'd leave. And I think it was midnight to 7, if
I mean,
memory
it's a
serves.
crazy world that that's something that we have to actually do.
Crazy, crazy. And that
But
was 30 years ago, so this is not new and it's not unique to Vancouver. And yeah. So we got to talk a little bit about our federal politics because, well, we're seeing our prime minister hanging out with the Pope in Rome,
Yes.
and he Pr Prime Minister Carney is a practicing Catholic, so there was it was
A real
interesting to
Catholic, not like Jotun and JD Vance
oh my gosh.
or
I
whatever.
mean, and then we saw on the US side the South African white South African refugees arrived, and then yesterday Wednesday the President of South Africa was a guest in the Oval Office, and that was quite.
That was quite something. This guy was like, no, wrong. Can I school you, please, President Trump? And then which was, I think, brave of him, because he's basically, I mean, they've already cut him off and they put these tariffs to South Africa. America is clearly supporting, I mean, I'm just looking and going, does anybody remember apartheid?
Anybody?
Anybody?
No,
Do you
no.
remember what happened in South Africa? So, but they then show this video. The president shows some video of a politician, another who was at some event. It was a funeral, I think. Obviously, ranting and talking about this whole white, whatever,
Farmers,
farmers getting
white farmers
killed,
being.
and there's Trump saying there's 1,000 farmers killed, and this president in the news, well, your numbers aren't correct, and more black people die every year than white people. I mean, he's basically, I'm not saying my country's perfect, we're trying to fix it, but it's complicated. People are angry. We went through a lot with our apartheid. It's not something you can solve overnight. And I think they haven't gone and done like this whole, they're trying to kind of expropriate some of the farms. And it's called, can you imagine trying to, in a country that is market driven, democratic, and then you say, but we need some, we need to make this fair. But then that sounds like socialism. It sounds like we're going to take your land and we're going to give it to the people. How do you, that's a complicated process to go through, and can you, they don't have the money to buy the land. And then what do then? Give it to people? I mean, it's like, what a complicated process. Like,
Yeah, I had a friends unrelated to that specifically, but I had friends who recently traveled to South Africa and were planning to stay there for an extended trip. They lasted 3 days in Johannesburg and left.
oh, yeah.
They just said there is great, so I believe that the politics of this is an attempt to capitalize on the dysfunction that exists currently there. And that's just, it's so wild to watch the United States go from being sort of the calming force, the stability in the world, to becoming the one that pulls in the political leader from that environment and goes, okay, cue the lights, and rolls a video of something that is completely rooted in misinformation to like push it out to millions of people watching. And have this individual, he literally, the president of South Africa, just like turned to President Trump and said, I have no idea where this is. And he said, well, it's in South Africa. And he's like, well, I'd like to know where that is because I don't recognize that. It's like showing video of, Timbuktu to somebody who lives in Canada and being like, it's Canada. It's like, well,
Yeah. Or a
right.
protest that may have happened 20 years ago that you're like, I don't know what this is. Give me some
I don't
context
know
here.
what
Like,
this
what's
is.
going on?
Right. Right.
Yeah, I've
It's
never, that's such a
wild.
weird, and it went on for quite a while.
It did. It was very uncomfortable. And you know what? That's what happens when you go into that arena, because it's more of an arena now. And that's why largely Canadians, I think, post Prime Minister Mark Carney's first visit to the Oval Office, it looked like it was a success because it wasn't a circus. And
Yes,
like
we've come to
that's
that.
the bar now. That's the
That's
bar
the
now.
bar.
But we still got more to watch in the United States. Like early hours this morning, as of Thursday, tabling the big beautiful bill, at 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. You talk about burying something. And within this bill is all kinds of things, cutting Medicaid and Medicare for millions of Americans at the same time as raising the debt ceiling by $3 trillion, like, and just handing money to wealthy people. I mean, sure, I guess.
I saw Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, saying what
Oh.
I've been saying for quite a while yesterday about this tariff is just a tax, a consumer tax,
Oh
basically.
yeah.
Let's call it what it is. And that's what I always say. This 10% is they need the cash. They just don't
They
want to
need the
call
cash.
it. They don't want to call it a consumer tax, but that's what
You
it
did say
is.
that last week. It was very eye-opening for me when you said it. It's like they cannot tell American people that they need to pay 25% more on everything. So they're going to blame it on other countries, but a tariff ultimately is paid by the consumer in the country where the tariffs are applied, which is why when we hear Andrew Scheer today talking about how dare those tariffs be pulled down by Prime Minister Mark Carney, quietly remove the tariffs from American goods. And it's like, well, I think the rest of the line in that Bloomberg article was to keep inflation low, because the inflation numbers came in for Canada
Right.
and we're down, and that's
1.7 or
good.
something.
Yeah, 1.7, and that's good. You know, while some, the Loblaws of the world are saying, grocery prices have to increase
Yeah,
because
I
of
think
tariffs on
the
US goods.
oil just yeah, so it's
Sure,
definitely chaotic
sure.
for sure, but
Buy Canadian, keep buying Canadian, and don't. And the cross border on the May long weekend that we just had, down 50%. I saw it on Brute America, that social media site that said, "Is it that Canadians aren't traveling as much to the U.S. or is it the new fentanyl rules?" I'm like, it's
although,
not fentanyl.
then I'm looking at Sam Cooper's stuff, who's done a lot of reporting on this. He's aligned with what Trump is saying, really. He's saying there is a fentanyl, issue. So I'm
Oh,
like, yeah.
I don't at all challenge that there isn't a fentanyl issue, but it's 0.01% of what's coming over the southern border. It's that Mexico, China, and Canada are working together, or there are people working together in these countries in order
Right.
to. And
Keep
I
this horrible
definitely
industry
respect
going.
Sam Cooper. I do too. Oh
Yes.
my goodness, we are time. We are at
What?
time,
Oh.
George. Yeah. I know.
Okay.
It goes very
That
quickly.
was an interesting episode. I hope you enjoyed it, everybody. I think we're all kind of all over the map there, but
We bounced around a little bit. Was there something that we missed? I don't think so.
No, I think well, let's get back to work on other stuff that we do.
Right. If we miss anything, you can always come at us on our social media. You can find George everywhere, but in particular on Twitter at George
Score. Show.
underscore Affleck, at George underscore Affleck. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y. At Jody Vance on all my social medias, and you can hit like and subscribe and comment below and tell your friends. Unspunpodcast.com is where you find all of our episodes. You can watch, you can listen anywhere you get your podcasts, as they say. And then we're here every Thursday, right?
I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.